This bustling holiday season, get Factor and get nutritious, convenient meals to keep you energized on jam-packed days. No wonder it's America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service. Get 50% off with code PUCK50 at factormeals.com/PUCK50. I'm Ryan Lambert from Elite Prospects.
I am Sean McIndoe from The Athletic.
And folks, you heard it at the top of the show. We have new theme music. That's from our buddy Dan from Joywave reached out. He said, you guys want a new theme song? And I said, yep. And that was it. I didn't give him too many notes. He got it very quickly and easily, you know. And off we went. And I think, what, a two-week turnaround on this?
Yeah.
Dan really, really got to work. You know, this is why he's one of the, he's a hit maker.
Is he? Yeah. I have to start listening to this music now because now personal friends with the guy. But if you're a fan of Joywave and you're like, hey man, how's the new album coming along? How come they haven't put out any? Yeah, this is why. Working on more important things.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but he was like, yeah, I got to get cracking on that new Joywave record soon. So,
yeah. Well, priorities.
Yeah. So, look, some things are more important. Yeah.
So shout out to everyone who already like started the podcast and then was like, oh, this is the wrong one, and like fiddled around with their phone for a while.
Yeah. And you know, people love change with their podcasts.
Yeah.
You know?
And they definitely don't get like super
they're very chill
nostalgic
about it always.
For old stuff that they didn't like in the first place. So I'm... I can't wait to hear.
That's why there's a I was going to make a I lost it. There's a movie coming out soon where it's like a remake, or maybe it's a TV show. I straight up don't remember. But it's like a remake of something from when I was a kid that I was like, I'm pretty sure everybody thought that sucked. And they were like, well, it's 20 years old or well, God, for me it's probably 40 years old. But that means it's good now. If it's old, it's good.
Yeah. I wish that thinking applied to people.
Hey, look, we can do the 70 over 70 list, like that one guy wanted that one time. I don't know if people remember that. Anyway, we'll get to some NHL news right here. Turns out Craig Berube got fired.
Yeah. That's kind of a bummer. I'm a big Craig Berube fan going way back to the day, so.
Going way back to when he made fun of us for being afraid of the rain or whatever in St. Louis. Or Nashville, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
There was that.
Yeah. Let that be a lesson to you. Don't try to big dog Puck Soup.
That's right. I totally forgot that happened. You and I were stuck in...
It was
waiting.
Like thunder, lightning, downpour, insane, waiting for an Uber, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And Craig Berube comes out. I think it's the second day of the draft. Yep. Craig Berube's like, oh, is it raining pretty bad out there? We're like, yeah, man. He looks outside. He's like, I'll walk. No big deal. Not wearing a coat, nothing. Just wearing, I think, a polo shirt and like some slacks.
Yep.
See you later.
And that was the moment when I realized maybe Craig Berube is tougher than me.
Yeah, a slightly tougher guy for sure.
I moved him up the toughness rankings ahead of me and you.
I don't know. I still think I could take him.
Do you think you and I together
we would get our asses beat?
No, like could we? Okay, you and me versus Craig Berube in a fight. He leaves the fight. Can anybody tell that he has been in a fight?
I fight dirty, you know. I'm throwing sand in the eyes. I'm going for his knees.
I feel like
you know
would,
that kind of thing.
You would
chop blocks.
You would pull out the mist on him. So they would be able to tell. He'd have like green paint on.
Craig,
his face.
Why is your face green? Some fucking guy I punched through a wall.
He misted me. I don't know. There was another guy, but he was just crying in the corner. He didn't make a move at all to help his friend.
Oh, is that the guy that's, you can see his legs dangling from the ceiling right now? Yeah, that's the one.
That's the dude.
Right. Well, he got fired instead. Yeah. He should have tried that with Doug Armstrong. I'm not fired. You're fired.
Might have.
Yeah. All you need to know about this decision, I think, is it kind of came out of nowhere. It went from nobody's talking about this at all. We did a hot seat roundup a week or two ago, I feel like, and we didn't like go, oh, and of course Craig Berube's getting shit canned next week for sure, you know. And then like Drager on Tuesday afternoon was just like, oh yeah, this is happening. Just you wait, and then they lost, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they've lost four straight now.
Yeah, they're not good, and
no,
I feel like it happens sometimes that some news happens, and then like all the takes feel unanimous, and sometimes that holds up, and sometimes it doesn't. But it feels like absolutely everyone is like, yeah, this roster stinks, and this is Doug Armstrong's fault, not Craig Berube's fault.
Yeah. I was reading the Jeremy Rutherford piece about this, and I did not see this quote in October. Doug Armstrong, who, when asked in October if this was a playoff team, replied, quote, I'd love to get third place, and he meant in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, man. Loser think. See ya. Like that, you were dead in the water. That's it.
Yep. So
specifically, the defense sucks, and Jordan Kyrou shooting like 4% or something.
Yeah.
There's your two big problems.
And the wild defense, thing is, this has been happening. Ahead. Sorry, the Blues thing is that this has been happening. Little pun there for you.
I got it. Yeah, that was good.
This has been happening with like in the middle of like a how many Jordan Binnington is back stories have you read this year?
Yeah.
And yet, because this is one of those things we always say every time a coach gets fired. We're like, yeah, he should have told his goalie to be good. And
instead, he should have told his best forward to be good.
Yeah. He actually had a good goalie, which, well, he had a better than expected goalie. He had a goalie who wasn't.
Binnington's 907. Yeah. That's, yeah.
He
now, the backup's 893. That's not helping. But
no. So, yeah, I mean, tough one. Obviously, Berube won the only cup in franchise history. He'll almost certainly coach again somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know how high he moves up the list of available coaches. And obviously, we don't know if he has any desire to coach imminently. But let's just say I own a Craig Berube Toronto Maple Leafs jersey and
dusted it off.
Might be dusted off some point soon. Because
Leafs pick up a big win last night, though. I don't know, man. They're all set.
Just crushed the Rangers.
They fucking killed them.
Yep.
Rangers in a little bit of trouble all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I've given up a lot of goals lately. Now, see, if I was a good coach, I would be saying to the goalie, hey, aren't you one of the best in the world? Why don't you fucking try stopping a puck, big dog?
Yep.
What do you say?
Good call.
But anyway, yeah, like, I can't have a lot of Craig Berube thoughts here other than if everybody is saying the roster's the problem, this is very obviously the GM going, well, I gotta do something before I also get fired here.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, this is a card to play. And look, they were very bad 5 years ago and fired their coach mid-season, hired Craig Berube, and then things went well. So
yeah, Craig Berube had the bright idea to tell Jordan Binnington, be 930 for a while. Well, do me a huge favor.
Jordan Binnington hadn't even arrived yet at that point.
No, he was an AHL call-up.
Yeah. So, you can understand them playing this card. And look, Craig Berube's been near the top of the hot seat list for, I feel like, 2 years now.
Yeah, but again, like, it kind of came out of nowhere, like, in the last 24 hours, though. Like, you didn't hear very much about it at all. And I think part of that is, you know, they do a good job in St. Louis of being buddy-buddy with a lot of the insider types,
mm-hmm.
let's say. But Yeah, like, it felt like something was going to happen just because the Blues have been kind of shitty the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And that's not the, you know, that's not how you want to be in year three or four after winning a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, I'm being serious. When's the last time a team, like, went from, we won a Stanley Cup, we have some good young-ish players, we have a good core, to we have a kind of dog shit team and we're firing the coach in 5 years? It's very rare that it happens as quickly as it did.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, the Capitals have been in that situation as well.
Yeah, but I mean, they let that coach go immediately, and that kind of felt like that coach was doing a lot of the heavy lifting for those guys.
But even, I mean, yeah, you're and right. They were they've switched again since, but you're right. It wasn't right. That was sort of a weird.
Well, that and also, like, they had a much I feel like they had a much older team. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but my feeling about them is that Capitals team was the kind of at the end of something. Like, they weren't open. They were squeezing. They were doing the Indiana Jones slide, reach back, grab the hat as the window was closing.
Sure.
You know? Whereas it felt like maybe with this Blues team, they were cracking open a window that just, like, straight up didn't exist. They installed a window and opened it. And then, you know, it didn't exist before Berube showed up, basically. And then they were like, oh yeah, we want to Stanley Cup off that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting. I just looked at the last hot seat odds that I got was
I got
yesterday.
Some like yesterday or the
I got them
before,
yesterday.
Yeah.
Have you gone back and looked at them? They had Craig Berube,
I did not, no.
Sixth on the list at 14-1.
That's what I mean. Like, this came out of kind of nowhere.
12 hours before he got fired. So, yeah. I don't know, man. I hope if Dreger headed, hopefully some people took him seriously, because he was behind DJ Smith, Lane Lambert, Mike Sullivan, Don Granato, and David Quinn.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
If I remember right, DJ Smith was 1-1.
1-1, yeah. In other words, 50-50.
Yeah.
To be the
that's tough,
guy.
Man.
Yeah,
that's really rough. New guy, I don't know. Like, he's the coach from Springfield in the AHL. His name's Drew Bannister.
Yep.
If I'm remembering right, his first year they went to a Calder Cup final, and I think they got waxed.
Okay.
By Chicago, maybe, I don't remember now, but his first year they went to a Calder Cup final, so, you know, in theory this is a guy who can wring a lot out of a roster and that kind of thing. But, you know, you look at it, and especially, like I said, especially this defense, I think it's safe to say Torey Krug is by far their best defenseman.
Yep.
And man, like, you look, I'm just looking at who their defensemen are. Torey Krug, Colton Parayko, washed. Marco Scandella, a perfectly okay defenseman, I guess. Nick Leddy, terrible decision on day one, and Justin Falk. And then, like, they're switching between Tyler Tucker and Scott Perunovic as their sixth defenseman. Both of them are kind of okay only.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't even, Perunovic has been bad this year, I would say. But Tucker, I mean, who knows what he is? You know, he's young.
Yeah, a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And I guess we should point out that Bannister comes in with the interim tag.
So yeah.
Unlike, you know, Chris Knobloch when he came in Edmonton, this is...
Bannister should have thought of being like Jordan Thomas's agent.
Yeah.
Then he'd get the gig for sure, yeah.
So this and I think, you know, not an, like, there's kind of two types of interim tags, right? There's the, we're just going to make the assistant coach the interim coach for like three games while we work on bringing in someone else. And then there's the kind of like audition for the job.
Yeah.
And this pretty clearly feels like the latter.
Totally. Yeah.
Because you typically, you don't move a guy up from the AHL to just hold the job for a couple of weeks. So he'll get first crack at it, but not a commitment from Armstrong and the Blues that he's the guy going forward.
For sure. I guess the other bit of Blues news is the whole Jakub Vrána thing that's been going on. I don't know if you were tracking this at all this week, but he also is shooting like 5%. Mm-hmm. He's not playing very many minutes. He's a one-dimensional player, and the one dimension is shooting the puck. And when the puck doesn't go in for a guy who that's his whole thing, that's a problem, right? And so they were like, okay, we're going to put him on waivers. And then apparently they got some calls and they were like, never mind. And then the next day they put him on waivers.
Yeah.
So just it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of solutions there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a situation where a guy's had a few chances now. And
yep, totally.
You're not part of the solution in a situation like that, then.
Again, if you really only have one skill and you're not doing that, it's really easy for a coach or an organization to be like, yeah, we're all set then. Thank you, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. While we're on the subject of the hot seat, let's just hit the roundup real quick. Mike Sullivan got a vote of confidence from Kyle Dubas. He's basically, if I'm remembering the wording right, it's like, I think Sully's the guy to get us out of this, basically.
Yeah, and also reportedly has a very expensive contract extension in place that was signed by previous management, but for a couple of years. So that would give you some security. So, I mean, that...
Yep, sure.
That's that would seem to move him down the list. And, well, I mean, Kyle Dubas is, you know, he doesn't have a ton of experience as a GM, but, you know, he has not been, it's not like with Mike Babcock, he was given votes of confidence 3 days before and then,
right,
and then firing him. So Sullivan's probably okay for a little while, even though just based on what's happening with the team, you would kind of think that that might be a card to play.
Yeah. Hey, they won last night. They scored a power play goal, so. No problem. All set. Everything's fixed. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. I guess the one thing we didn't do, and this is a stat that everybody was bringing up because of what happened last night. I believe because of last night's game, the Blues have now scored more shorthanded goals than power play goals this year.
It's wild. Absolutely crazy.
But anyway, yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah, the Penguins had two power play goals last night.
They have, yes, the Blues have 8 shorthanded goals and 7 power play goals.
Pretty good.
And they have 3 shorthanded goals against, which means they're getting 70% of the goals while they're on the power play.
That's a rough one.
Man. Not fantastic.
Nope, not at all. But yeah, the Penguins had 2 power play goals last night. They snapped a 4-game losing streak. They're back.
You're back, baby.
That's it. Yeah, no problem.
Mike Sullivan was waiting until he got that vote of confidence to tell the power play to start scoring.
Well, you guys get out there, put the puck in the net. They were like, can do, coach. No problem. Why didn't you say so earlier? You know what their power play is running at right now, by the way?
Have they gotten up to 10% now?
Yeah, they're up to 11.4.
Oh, well, I mean.
All set. No problem. It's really, but with them, it really is as simple as, if the power play is scoring, it doesn't have to be 2 goals in a game, certainly. But if the power play is scoring at anything resembling a league average rate, they're going to be totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they are still 500. So, and that's NHL 500. That's not even, you know, real 500. But, yep. You know, Penguins, they have a good roster. So. I'm not going to say they're capable of doing what the Oilers are doing right now, or it's just like, not only are they winning 8 games in a row, they're winning every game like 6-2 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they have it in their power to run down the mighty Washington Capitals. Yeah. Who sit,
you think they can catch currently the Flyers?
I think they can catch the Flyers for sure, yeah. Yeah. The standings are still so funny, man. There are teams that have played 30 games and Ottawa's at 23. What the fuck is going on, man? We talked about it last week, but it's still crazy. Hey, speaking of Ottawa, feels like the clock's ticking on old DJ Smith, huh?
Has been all season, but they've been pretty clear that they don't want to make a change because they want stability. But stability for them has been hovering around 500 all year long.
Below 500, I think.
Last night was another chance to get over 500. I think they've had a few.
Yeah, that's what I mean. When's the last time they were over 500? Yeah,
it has been a while. I think they started 3-1 or something, but
they did. And then they immediately dropped to 4-3, and I don't think they've been over 500 since.
So another loss last night and another loss in regulation, as all their losses have been, which is not great. Weirdly behind everyone else in games played, so never as bad as, like, when you look at the standings and you're like, oh, crap, they're in dead last in the division or whatever. Right. They don't look that bad, but I think, you know, it's going to be interesting because especially if you see what happens in St. Louis, like, we've seen three coaching changes now. The Oilers have flipped the switch. The Wild at least had a few wins early on.
They sure did, yeah. 5 of 7.
We'll see what happens with the Blues. But if the Blues get off to any sort of decent start under Bannister, I mean, what do you do if you're this new Senators ownership/management and you're going, well, we want stability, and the fans are like, yeah, stability is we don't get to see meaningful hockey in January again. And all these other teams are at least getting short-term boosts out of making changes. So, I don't know.
To me, I just look at this team, and, you know, the thing that I was really laughing about was when I was doing What We Learned on Sunday, every article was like, that was the best second period we had all season. We suck in the second period. That second period was incredible. Whoa, oh my God. We beat the brakes off Detroit in the second period.
Yeah.
And then the quotes last night, that was the worst second period we had all season.
Yeah. That's not good, man.
No, like, if you're living and dying with, like, all we need is a good second period, and you can't fucking put it together for more than one game, like, I don't know what else to say to you, man. You're a bad team that, like, the coach has no answers here. And by the way, the last time they were 8-7 as of a shootout win on November 18th. So that's the last time they were above 500. But yeah, you just watch this team and you're like, they don't have any answers here. Again, like, when you're entering, like, the whole season going, well, look, it's just a matter of time till the coach gets fired. Just fire the fucking coach then.
Yeah.
Do it or don't, like, shit or get off the pot.
And look, if I'm a Sens fan too, I'm sitting there going, there are now three coaches on the market with reasonable success track records that were not available in the offseason. Right, Woodcroft, Evans, and Berube, obviously.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, and we got this new owner who says he's got money to spend. So, I mean, maybe we don't always have to have the cheapest coach in the league. I don't know. I mean, you've seen it in Ottawa, right? They're chanting fire DJ at most home games. So, I guess we'll see. Now, apparently, I mentioned it before, it's been, I think Elliot Friedman has been the one who's said it a few times, that there were some meetings with players when the new management came in, and the players are saying there's too much distraction. There's too many things changing. There's, you know, we just want to have some stability for a while. But I don't know, man. At some point, I'm kind of going, like, is this okay with, like, the players would rather go 500 with stability than have change? I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's really tough because they're wasting, like, important seasons, you know, Tim Stutzle's the guy we talked about a lot this summer, and he's having another good year. Maybe, you know, not as good as he did last year, but he's having another good season. Tim Stutzle is 23 years old already. Can you fucking believe that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy to me, man.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, I'm sorry, 22.
22. He's good.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
He's a very good player.
Got a lot of
good
pieces
player.
There, but they just...
Yeah, but like, Brady Kachuk's 24, Drake Batherson's 25. At some point, all these young guys that are like gonna... The rising tide lifts all boats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at some point they are what they are. I mean, still in their peak.
Well, I'm just saying, like, how much longer can you go, like, well, I mean, the future.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the future, though, we got Judas Corpusalo. Oh, awesome. Great, great shit, man.
Yeah.
Vladimir Tarasenko, he's got 6 goals. Yeah, are you supposed to be excited about this?
He's been having a bit of a rough time. What's Dominic Kubalik up to? I haven't even...
Kubalik. Has he?
I know he has 1 goal, but.
Yeah.
Is that it?
No, he has 5 goals, 1 assist.
Okay. There you go.
6 Lighten it 6 up. Big points That's and a minus 10 for the big man. Yeah. It's rough, man. Chychrun hasn't been like the huge difference maker they need him to be. Like. Again, he's been good, but, like, you know, they gave up a lot to get. I think they're better off having him, but you know what I mean. It's just they got rid of the GM. Whoever they make the full-time GM is going to make changes, and it's probably going to start with the coach. Just rip the Band-Aid off, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not advocating for DJ Smith to get fired, but it just feels like such a, like, an eventuality, right? Like a foregone conclusion that this is happening. I just can't watch another TSN broadcast where they're like, you know, if they can put together 2 consecutive good periods, they could maybe get back to 500. Who cares? 500? This is what we're talking about? This team was supposed to be in the playoff conversation. Now we're like, look. A couple things go their way. They could have the same record as the extremely disappointing Pittsburgh Penguins. Awesome. I don't know what we're doing here, man.
Stability.
That's what it's all about. Here's some instability for you, and then we'll take a break after this. The Capitals are probably moving to the suburbs, seems like.
Now that's like how I'm not real good with my U.S. geography. How far a move is that? It's across.
It's one
a
of those
river.
Things where it's like you know, 8 or 9 miles, but it might as well be 25,000. You know, like the way in D.C. people are talking about it, like people that I follow who live in D.C., not just Capitals fans, but like Wizards fans. Are just like, move them to the fucking moon then. Who gives a shit? Like, apparently driving there is a nightmare. Like, taking public transit out there is similarly nightmarish. It's just the thing of, like, someone told a billionaire they could have whatever it is, like $2 billion worth of free construction. I haven't looked at the framework of the deal, I think is what they said. I just haven't seen the details come across my feed here, so I don't know what they are, but, like, you know, it's free money for a billionaire, basically.
It's about time they a billionaire got a break. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, don't give free money to billionaires, but also, we know the deal.
This is the other thing, is the deal, like, what do you want to say, gets kind of teased, yeah. Like, hey.
Very sad for those Capital fans who will now get to see Alex Androvich. Well, when will they get the new arena, I guess would be the question.
2028, I think they said.
Okay, well, at his current rate, that's about when Ovechkin will break the goals record, so.
Pretty pretty kind old Alex Ovechkin at this point. So this deal gets announced and teased last night, like, join us tomorrow for a very special announcement. Everybody knows what it means.
Yep.
And the DC, I think it's the city council, is like, here's $500 million to fix up Capital One. Here it is. You can have it. And so, you know, I don't want to get too much into the Shohei Ohtani thing. I don't want to hurt my friend Sean's feelings.
Mm.
But, like, is this a stalking horse? I don't know. Like, did Leonsis do all this, or the Capitals, Monument Sports, whatever they're fucking called, did they do all this to just get $500 million out of the city? It's possible. I don't know. I don't know enough about DC local politics, I guess, but
yeah,
the speed with which they rushed out this money kind of implies that they think that'll fix it, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't
know. Or was it something that was already in progress and they rushed it out to sort of cut off the ability of the Leonsis to sit there this morning and say, oh, well, you know, they didn't give us what we wanted. They didn't do this or that. Like, is it just a PR thing? I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out. But like I said, the reaction from all the DC sports fans I know or follow or whatever, we're all just like, well, this sucks. This is bad. So,
yep.
What else can you say? Why don't we take a quick break? We'll be right back.
If you're a longtime listener to Puck Soup, you know that I've been a fan of AG1 for a while now. AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement. Supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immunity support. Not to mention a little bit of that energy boost that I'm guessing we could all probably use right around this time of year. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition. And they've been continuously refining their formula over that time, creating smarter, better ways to elevate your baseline health. And you know my story by now. I want to be healthy. I want to do the right things for my body. I want to do the right things for my energy level. But I also know myself, and I know I'm not going to do some big complicated routine. I'm not going to be picking and choosing a whole bunch of different supplements and taking this on this day and that on that day and a couple of hours apart and timing everything out. No way. Not going to happen. Too complicated. So many of the systems that are out there, just way too complicated. Not AG1. It's one scoop of powder once a day at any point in the day you choose. Nice and simple. Something that we can all do, we can all stick to. It got lots of great health right in there. Can replace your entire multivitamin system, whatever it is that you're doing right now, or maybe not doing because you don't feel like you can stick with it. AG1 solves that problem for you. AG1 is a supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. That's why they've been a partner of this show for so long. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/puck. That's drinkag1.com/puck and check it out.
This week's episode of Puck Soup is brought to you by Bespoke Post. And folks, this holiday season, don't just treat yourself to a one-time gift. Instead, you can give a gift that keeps giving all year long with a Box of Awesome subscription from Bespoke Post. Every month, the Box of Awesome is filled with carefully chosen gear from the best small brands around the world. This month, I got what they call the Scorch Box. And hey, you know me, I'm a guy, I like spicy food. So this was good because it's hot sauces that are from small brands all over the country, including from Texas, Nevada, California. You know, you go down the list. There's all kinds of good stuff in here. And they keep sending me the boxes. I haven't been disappointed with anything I've received yet. And there's great news for all you deal chasers out there, because Bespoke Post is offering tons of discounts throughout the holiday season, so there's never been a better time to sign up. To find what you're looking for, to get started, you take the quiz at boxofawesome.com, and your answers will help them pick the right box for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. Each box is valued at around $70, but you pay a fraction of that. Plus, with each box of awesome, you're supporting a small business. 90% of everything that comes into that box is from a small up-and-coming brand. And the great news is, it's free to sign up. You can skip a month. You can cancel anytime you want. No problem. So here's what you're going to want to do. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter code PUCK20 at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code PUCK20 for 20% off your first box. Boxofawesome.com, code PUCK20. All right, we're back. And, well, let's just get into the other big piece of news that came out last night. The NHL is changing its All-Star Skills format again, but this time there's like a financial incentive to be good at it.
Yeah.
With the help of a young man, you might have heard of him. He plays for the Edmonton Oilers. His name's Connor McDavid. They have revamped the NHL All-Star Skills Challenge or competition or whatever you want to call it to be kind of like a, what's the word for a decathlon, but it's only eight events? Octathlon?
I believe that would be an octathlon.
It's an octathlon where 12 players will compete in a bunch of different events. And at the end of it, whoever has the most points by finishing top five in their various challenges wins $1 million.
Yeah.
That's crazy. They give the All-Star Game MVP, they give like a Honda Odyssey. And this guy's they're cutting him a check with two commas in it.
Yeah.
That's bananas, man.
That's a good chunk of money.
I saw people going, oh, I mean, the 12 players, like, those are the guys that $1 million doesn't matter to. I don't know, man. If I'm making like $8 million and they're like, do you want an extra million on top of that? That sounds pretty fucking good to me.
Yep. Like, if you made $80,000 a year and someone was like, do you want $10,000? You're not going to be like, no, I don't.
That actually does. That's an insignificant amount of money to me. No, yeah. Thank you.
So, and plus, I'm sure there will be, I mean, you know, somebody's going to come along and ruin it and be like, I give this to charity. And then every other player is going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, me too. Sure.
Yeah.
I was going to spend it all tonight.
I was gonna buy a vacation home with this, but I guess I'll go fuck myself instead. I'll just hand it over to the ASPCA or something. Fine.
Yeah. So what do you think of the changes?
Okay. So there are six events that kind of count in the standings of this, I think. Let me rephrase that. The rules on this are a little confusing, so I apologize. You get to pick four of the following six that you will compete in. The fastest skater, the hardest shot, stick handling, one-timers, passing challenge, and shooting accuracy. And then the top eight advance to the Honda NHL shootout. And here's what that means. That is, eight players line up on the blue line, eight goalies line up on the other blue line, and each player picks the goalie he wants to go up against. And then I don't really understand what that, like,
okay.
Then it's just like a shootout competition, I guess.
I would assume so. That is a cool idea. The idea that you're drafting your goalie.
Yeah.
Now, will that be ruined by somebody drafting their teammate and then everybody, like, assuming that the fix is in and the guy just goes five hole eight times in a row? Sure. But it's okay. So there's the six events and you compete in four of them. So we're talking like eight contestants per event, probably.
Right.
I gotta be honest. I like the idea that it's only 12 guys. Obviously, the problem, you know, quote unquote, with that is it's like you get to the event and it's like, oh, there's no Rangers, there's no Kings, there's no, you know, this team, you know, the Leafs probably have three guys in it. And so, you know, there's nobody else on these other teams. But You get like the 12 guys that actually want to be there.
Yeah.
This is.
Well, I didn't.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I didn't say the last thing. There's okay. one more event after the shootout. So two guys get eliminated, like the bottom two guys get eliminated from the shootout event. And then they end it with the Pepsi NHL obstacle course, an event that includes all the skills and is worth double the points. So whoever wins that is probably going to have a really good chance to win the whole fucking right. thing.
So I feel like that's going to be the car crash.
Yes, totally.
I feel like that will be the event that sucks. But I got to say, for the most part, I'm pretty good with this. Because part of what stinks about All-Star Weekend, more so the game, but also the skills, is the guys who just clearly don't want to be there. And like at the skills competition, there's so many guys on the ice just milling around. And then like, it's like, oh, I'm supposed to do a hardest shot. All right. And the guy just wanders over and clearly doesn't really care. You know, if we can find 12 guys out of, you know, what is it, 44 All-Stars to actually do this and care a little bit, or at least act like they care.
Yeah.
I think that's better. I think it's going to be easier to follow. It's now like an individual competition instead of like, get out there and cheer for the Central Division. I don't care about the Central Division. I like my team. I don't like the other teams in the division. So instead, it's kind of an individual thing.
Yeah.
Hey, we're always saying the NHL should be trying some new things.
Totally.
I kind of like this. Is it going to get a little confusing with the points and all that? Maybe, but that's what scoreboards are for. So.
By the way, the selection process on who the players are, the league will select 8 of them with input from the Players Association and a nod to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I think that to me implies Marner and Matthews.
Yeah. And Nylander and
right.
everybody else.
And then the fans select the other 4.
Okay. Which will be very funny when the fans like vote in Alexander Ovechkin and he's like, please, I'm begging you.
The fastest skater, like see, that's the other thing. It is not clear to me if the players get to pick the two events they sit out.
Yeah.
Or what?
I mean, you're going to have to, assuming that you want even like 8 people per event, if I'm doing the math right.
Right.
Then there's going to have to be some level of like, but yes, I'm imagining that if you're, I'm trying to think of someone who's an all-star, but it is like if Joe Pavelski is like, guys, don't put me.
I want to see Mitch Marner in the hardest shot. 76 miles an
just
hour.
Just doing slap passes to Austin Matthews while his sour dad. Did you see that? Did you see that little minor Leaf controversy?
No, I didn't. What happened?
So,
wait, something happened with Mitch Marner's dad and it's news? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. Like when John Tavares got his 1,000th point, and there was that shot, you probably saw it, of John Tavares' dad, because it's the dad's trip for the Leafs, like reacting and celebrating when, you know, after they tied the score with 6 seconds left against the Islanders, crowds booing, all that stuff. And, you know, the dad is like jumping up and down. Next to him is Mitch Marner's dad, just looking as dour and miserable. And because there's a history there, a lot of people were like reading into that. Oh, he's not happy because, you know, Mitch didn't get a point on it and all of this. And who knows? He might have just been, you know, maybe his beer had gotten warm or something. But it became a thing for Leaf fans to get Mitch Marner's dad trending. Maybe that'll be part of it.
Yeah, I think this is cool. This is bad news.
Potential to be cool.
I think it's cool in theory. We'll see in actual practice. I do worry about what if Coyotes fans don't get to see their favorite guy on there?
Yeah, gosh.
Oh no, we're never gonna see Roman Josi in the skills competition again. Ugh.
How sad. And it will be annoying that there'll be like 3 Leafs out of the 12, but they'll do that every year. They always do this, right? Like the All-Star game becomes like this local thing. And so you can't really do anything about that. But it'll be interesting to see. Be interesting to see if they, you know, how tough the competition gets. And
it's $1 million. I mean,
yeah, like it's not nothing, especially if it like comes down to like you know, some pylon being out of place or something, or somebody like, you know, when they're always doing the fastest skater and they always like cut the corners, but nobody really cares. Like,
yeah.
Who's going to be the guy who's going to complain? Go to replay review on when Matthew Tkachuk like challenges Mitch Marner's fastest skater win. And they go to an 18-minute review to show that, yeah, Mitch did go around the pylon.
To me, that would be cool.
That would be fun. It is tragic that we are going to miss out on the awesome locally inspired events. We're not going to have to shoot out a deck of cards or shoot the puck into the, I don't know what it would be in Toronto. Shoot the puck into a $4 million bachelor apartment. I don't know. See if you can outskate a broken down subway train. I'm not sure what else you would do. Get on a private plane and circle around.
You know, I feel like we're really going to miss out on the Befriend Drake.
Yes, that's right.
Competition.
Go skate as hard as you can down the end of the ice, body check an opponent, and then say Suri to him. That's mm-hmm. How many Tragically Hip songs can you name? Sidney Crosby's like, ah, crap.
I would say everybody in Canada under the age of 40 is like, ah, crap. But
Ryan,
what do I know?
We were having fun. We were just having a good time doing a little bit, and you got to...
Tell me when I'm telling lies, folks.
I'm
you
glad
know,
Craig Berube is going to whoop your ass. It's...
you want to talk about all the hits from behind this week?
There were a few.
There were a lot. Yeah,
they
man.
They were called haphazardly. Would that be a fair way to put it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, what you love to see is the consistency. You know what I mean? Like a hit from behind is going to be called a hit from behind or boarding or something like that every single time, right?
Well, I have news for you.
In theory, this is like the easiest call to make in the entire league. In actual practice, it doesn't work out like that at all.
Mm-hmm. It's
crazy.
And so we had, you have Evander Kane.
Yep.
Against Minnesota. No penalty on that play. You have Eric Robinson, was it, on Buffalo?
I believe that's right.
Against Montreal. He gets 5 in a game?
Yes.
Which leads to Kyle Okpozo saying, like, how come, you know, that was the same as the Evander Kane
yep.
hit, et cetera, et cetera. And
now,
then,
that argument doesn't hold water with me of like, oh, this one guy got away with it. He should, too.
Well, it's absolutely, it was just interesting because... to point out the discrepancy is completely fair, but it's usually like the other way around. Usually it's like,
right.
Hey, that you would be somebody on the team that got hit saying like, that should have been 5. It was 5 the other night. Not inconsistent. And then you have Eric Goodbranson gets hit by Nick Cousins. And now, was that the way they reviewed that, right? They called it 5.
I believe that's right.
To trigger the review. They review it. They give him 2.
They give him 2, correct.
And then yep. Goodbranson says, you know what? I don't think that's enough. I'm going to give him 6 where it is punches to the head. And bit of a take matters into your own hand sort of situation.
Yep. Yeah,
I'm sure that there's like a referee out there who could explain why those hits are actually different and, you know, they're not all the same. But yeah, it certainly is a, I don't know, wasn't a good look one way or another.
Did you see, speaking of officiating, did you see all the stuff from the NBA last night?
No, I heard, I saw one guy like threw a punch.
Okay, yeah, that's not the one I'm talking about. There were 2 other egregious, like, they called a technical for a guy for hanging on the rim, and he, like, very barely hung on the rim. And, you know, a lot of shots from around the arena of people just going, like, what the fuck?
Okay.
Like, and then a little while later, I think I'm getting the order right on this. But then a little while later, Nikola Jokic, like, arguably the best player in the world,
mm-hmm.
gets fouled, says to the ref, call the fucking foul. They kick him out of the game. And this is a road game. The entire arena starts booing.
Oh, wow.
Because it was just a ref, like, you know, being like, well, you know, the game's more important than me, or I'm more important than the game or whatever.
Ref show.
It was crazy. Like, even, and like the home broadcast, it was a Bulls game. So the Bulls broadcast is like, come on, man. Are you serious? It's a huge advantage to the Bulls for Jokic to get thrown out of a game. Mm-hmm. And everybody's just like, this is bullshit.
Can you imagine if the NHL, like, ejected every player who swore at the ref?
You're playing 1v1 by the end of that game.
Yep. And it's only empty, like, nets. Only the players who don't speak English are the only ones.
Right, yeah.
It's like, who have been saying the absolute worst things to the ref, but the ref doesn't understand. The ref's like, yes, that's sure. Sure thing, buddy.
Anyway, It's a weird league. In both situations, the NHL and the NBA, they just won't admit that there's a problem with the officiating. We did a bonus episode yesterday where we watched old hockey videos that I hadn't seen before, and there's one where who was it? A guy on Winnipeg or something, like, just grabs the puck behind the net, carries it, and throws it into the net
Nelson
in
Emerson.
Overtime.
Yeah.
Was it Winnipeg? Was I right about that?
Yep.
Yeah. And there's a quote from Jeremy Roenick after the game that Sean read for me where he's like, maybe the ref should go on strike. We get some good fucking officiating around here for once. Really good quote from your old buddy JR there.
Our pal.
But yeah, that's what springs to mind when I see stuff like this, where it's just like, again, this is the hitting from behind ought to be the most obvious call, not only because you see a guy get hit in the numbers, your hand goes up. That's that simple. But because it's such a potentially injurious play, right? That, like, a ref should just err on the side of, like, my hand should go up and not the other way around. To me, like, to especially to look at it and go from 5-2 is crazy.
But that's, I mean, because they can only review the majors, they kind of, they call it a major, even if they think it's two, the inclination will be to call a major, then you review it and change it to two, versus call it two and then realize, ah, you know what, we should have had another look at it.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's a little disingenuous, because whenever people start talking about consistency in refereeing, what they mean is, I want the calls to consistently go my team's way.
Of course.
Whether you're a fan or Kyle Okposo or, like, some media play-by-play guy. But
yep, sure.
It's it was the fact that there were three fairly prominent incidents within a few days definitely didn't look great.
Yeah, and now they're going to be like, we're actually really going to focus in on this. It's like, okay, man, cool.
Yeah, and all the people complaining will be, because that's the other thing, right? Like, consistency is how you complain when your team gets called for an obvious penalty, right? Like Okposo. Right?
Yeah.
It's you know, like, what's going to happen is tonight some team, there's going to be a hit from behind that everyone's been talking about should be 5 minutes. It's going to get called 5 minutes, and that fan base will then complain because of lack of consistency.
Yep.
They'll be like, yeah, I mean, he did telescope the guy's spinal column, but
yeah, he didn't call it that in the Predators Wild game 2 weeks ago. All right, man. I guess the one last thing, while we're talking about officiating and supplemental discipline and all this kind of stuff, David Perron gets 6 games for going after Artem Zub. Due to the whole Dylan Larkin thing. Yeah. That Dylan Larkin play was crazy, by the way.
So what were your thoughts on that?
I guess what I would say is the stuff that led to Larkin getting knocked out on the ice, I don't like seeing that in sport, you know? But I do kind of accept that that's a really bad outcome on a thing we see 500 times a game.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't... See, I had the interesting perspective of I was out with the family at we were having dinner when that happened. So I had it in front of me on a big screen, seeing replay after replay, but I didn't hear like any of the commentary or anything. So I'm not sure how it was described or that sort of thing. But I didn't like it from Matthew Joseph. The fact that he, you know, yes, in the heat of the moment, yes, like not premeditated or anything, but he did pick the head on a guy.
Mm-hmm, totally.
And it was, you're right, like we see that a lot. And it never results in something like this, like as scary looking an injury.
Right.
But there's a part of me that's like, if you're going to pick the head, you are responsible for the results. And if in picking the head,
you
knock somebody down and into an oncoming player and it through a fluke of physics, you get hit in exactly the way that causes an injury. I'm a little bit surprised that more wasn't made out of that. You know, he got 2 minutes. I think that was another case where they gave him five and then reviewed it and changed it to two.
Yeah.
No suspension, no fine, no nothing like that. Which, I mean, I kind of get in a way that you have to say it's either clean or it's not. And if it's not, then it's got to be something significant. And if it is, then you just let it go. But I didn't love that play. Now, that having been said, what David Perron did, that has to be a big suspension. Like I don't at all buy this argument that there's any... in any way that was too harsh a penalty. Like it was, the play's over. It was, you know, he takes three steps and very clearly in retaliation. And yeah, I mean, he sees his teammate down on the ice. I know that's, you know, that's what he's responding to, but he is responding to that. This is not run of play remotely. This is
totally
plays over. I see a guy standing over my teammate. I presumably he thought that Zub had been the guy who had delivered the hit or done whatever.
Right.
And I'm going to attempt to injure this guy by cross-checking him right in the neck. That's got to be a significant suspension. And I know...
has to be.
There's like, you know, Alan Walsh, Perron's agent, had like a little mini Twitter rant where he pointed out that, you know, Perron's never been suspended and this and that. But, and again, appealing to consistency, saying there have been other cross-checks that didn't get six games. But this one was really bad and
blatant. Yeah.
I don't know if you saw on the Wings game last night, it was ESPN and Emily Kaplan was saying that, and I don't know if this was opinion or if this was reporting, but, or maybe a mix of both, but you know, she said that she pointed out that as both Alan Walsh and a lot of Wings fans have pointed out, like Zub was not hurt. He didn't, you know, he played, right. You know, he continued to play and everything. But she was like, if he had been hurt, it might have been 20 or 30 games.
Oh, sure,
it was
yeah.
That bad. And I don't, I mean, to me, we don't see 20 or 30 game suspensions in the NHL for first time offenses on things, but it was very bad. I think this is not the one that Red Wings want to go to the mattress on, because it was really very bad.
Yeah, no, I couldn't believe it was only six games. Let's put
really?
It that way.
Okay.
Just so premeditated. And I get the thing about he's never been suspended before, blah, blah, blah. Like he's not a repeat offender. Okay, man. But like that was a crazy decision by him.
And it was, again, like it's, obviously, like premeditated, not in the sense of, you know, you're coming over the board saying, I'm going to hunt this guy down and get him. But in the moment, you see your guy's hurt and you go, I'm going to hurt a guy on their team.
Yeah.
And so it is absolutely intent to injure. You got a match penalty. That's what the match penalty is for. And yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not, I won't say I'm surprised it wasn't more, but because I mean, what if you look at the history of recent history, NHL suspensions, I can't, I mean, how many guys have been suspended for six or more games?
Oh, it didn't never happened.
An injury. Right.
Yeah. Like no, it never happens. I totally, like I said, I understand like why it isn't more, but like I'm just the optics of it. I was just like, you got to throw the fucking book at this. But yeah. this Department of Player Safety is just like, we don't do that, period.
It was very weird again. Like watching the game, obviously, I was watching the Hockey Night in Canada broadcast. I don't know if it was like this in the States or.
I was watching the Leafs game. I didn't see this. Okay.
They show like the incident happens and obviously Larkin's hurt and it's scary.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I meant last night. I was. Where the fuck was
No. I'm talking the
I can't remember
the Saturday night game.
Right.
They showed the replay of like Joseph on Larkin, like 10 different times. And I mean that's what the refs were reviewing and everything. And you know, and then you see the ref come out and he goes, you know, blah blah. And you start to see Perron, and only then did they show a replay. Of the cross check, and they showed it like once,
right?
And they're watching it, and you're like, "Holy crap! Like that's what you should have been showing us over and over again." But they only showed it one time, I think, on the at least in the original. So, yeah, don't cross check guys in the neck.
Kids. I'd say that's a good rule of thumb. I would say good way to go. Now, you know. This is going to get appealed, or it is being appealed currently, I think. And yes.
As is his right on any suspension more than six or more.
I think it's six or more, yeah. Which, like, I don't expect Bettman will reduce the penalty. And if he does, he might do the thing of like, well, it took me exactly how long it took to play six games to reduce your suspension to four games.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But six games is a long time, so I don't know if they can get away with that.
No.
But it's can't have that shit
almost,
in the sport,
it's almost certainly a just a formality that Bettman will approve. Although I believe technically, can Bettman not increase the suspension if he chooses?
I think he can, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
That would be very funny if that is happened. But
I can't, you know, now that I think about it, I can't imagine the process works that way. It would be sick if he could and did that in this case, just because again it was a wild ass cross check to me. Mm. But
if I'm a Detroit fan, I'm not. The Perron suspension is not what I'm coming after. It's more Matthew Joseph, you know, taking a kind of punch/stick to the back of the head on a guy that. By the way,
on that, did you see all this stuff about? Oh, it's great news. Larkin went off under his own power. I have never seen someone look more out on their feet.
Yeah,
going off quote unquote under their own power. Like he was hanging there limp, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
was scary.
Going off under your own power from a head injury is not anything to be excited. Like if a guy goes down holding his leg and then skates off, then that can be a good sign. But I get people don't want to be off and that's
it looked like the cover of Weekend at Bernie's, man.
Yeah.
Like he was just limp in their arms and they're like, oh, he's going off under his own power. This is great.
Yeah.
I don't agree, man.
Yeah. No, that was it was weird, right? Because even again, having seen the replay eight times of the play, you're still not quite sure like how he wound up getting knocked out like that. But that was very scary. Like see a guy face down with his arms kind of twisted around like that. That was an ugly moment for sure.
Yep. On that wonderful note, why don't we take a break? We'll be right back. This week's episode of Puck Soup is brought to you by nuts.com. And folks, we all like to snack. Let's not kid ourselves, you know? We like candy, we like nuts, we like other salty snacks, crunchy snacks, all that kind of thing. And you're thinking, yeah, I can go get all that at the grocery store. Well, I guess that's true. You can do that. But what you can't do is get the variety of options they have at nuts.com. Take pecans, for example. You can get pecans at the grocery store, but can you get bourbon pecans? Sweet and spicy? Pecan brittle? Butter toffee pecans? Come on, you can't do that at the store, and you know it. Don't lie to yourself. And it's not just that, because they also have stuff like almonds, cashews, pistachios, dried mango, crystallized ginger, dates, jelly beans, jawbreakers, root beer barrels. The variety is vast at nuts.com. And that's why nuts.com is your one-stop shop for freshly roasted nuts, dried fruits, sweets, pantry staples like specialty flours, and more. Their wide selection means there is something for everyone. And at nuts.com, quality is a top priority. I mentioned those roasted nuts. They roast the nuts and pop the popcorn the same day it ships, so it reaches you fresh, satisfaction guaranteed. Now, they sent me a few bags of their a variety of nut offerings. Again, pecans, cashews, pistachios, all that stuff. It's gone. We went through it about as quickly as it came. So it's just one of those things where you're going to be fighting with the people in your home to get to the last of what's in the bag. You can shop a la carte at any time. You can opt into hassle-free auto delivery so you never run out of what you're looking for. The choices are endless. So here's what you're going to want to do. Right now, Nuts.com is offering new customers a free gift with purchase and free shipping on orders of $29 or more at nuts.com/puck. So go check out all the delicious options at nuts.com/puck. You'll receive a free gift and free shipping when you spend $29 or more. That's nuts.com/puck.
Our next partner is Game Time. We're all finishing up the holiday season shopping. And sometimes I've been known to give tickets as a gift. My dad and I both love stand-up comedy. And every few years, if there's a big name comedian, somebody that I know that we've watched and enjoyed together, come into town near where he's at, boom, there's your Christmas gift. Nice night out, go watch comedian. It's nice to give somebody an experience instead of just an object that maybe they're going to like or maybe not like so much. But anyone who's ever done that, who's ever bought tickets for somebody as a gift or for whatever reason, you know that what you don't want to hear is have that moment where, you know, you call them up. Oh, how was the show? Oh, you know, the show was great. Performance was great. Yeah, yeah. How were the seats? And then you get that kind of pause and you realize like they're about to tell you like, you know, they were okay, but you know, maybe not quite what I was expecting. You shouldn't have to worry about stuff like that when you buy tickets to your next big event or to someone else's next big event. That's where Game Time comes in. Fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. And they've got killer last-minute deals, all in prices, views from your seat, and the best price guarantee. So it takes all the guesswork out of buying tickets and takes all of the surprises out. You get to see that view of the seat before you buy. That means you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. And again, those all-in prices, all the totals up front, none of this stuff where you hit a few buttons and you're feeling good, and then you get to the end and suddenly the number is a lot bigger than you expected. In fact, number won't be that big at all because they've got a lowest price guarantee, as well as event cancellation, job loss protection, etc. All sorts of good stuff. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PUCK for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code PUCK, P-U-C-K, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
All right, let's open up this final segment here talking about the Mikko Rantanen thing. Guy has a big game.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, what's that like? And he's like, well, it's to show one of the Finnish players' dads that he's full of shit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out Arturi Lekkonen's father has been saying what I believe Mikko Rantanen called bullshit about him in the Finnish media, apparently, yeah. Saying like he doesn't train in the off season or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to get a handle on exactly what was said, but like
a lot of really, dad drama really, this,
yeah,
this week.
Let's go.
And then like afterwards clarified, like, but everything's fine with me and my teammate. Whose dad I just ripped.
Well, I think you can hold both things in your hand at the same time, you know? You can be like, dude, get your dad to stop talking shit about me in the media. But we're cool, right? You know?
Yeah. I guess.
You know, like if your dad started talking shit about me, I'd be like, now hold on a second, you know? But I wouldn't be mad at you for what was being said by someone else.
I suppose not.
Yeah.
Although.
Which is why I'm going to have my dad call Elliot Friedman tomorrow. Start.
Although, I mean, there is also kind of the question of how does his dad know this? Where's his dad getting this information from?
It's a good point.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's obviously just funny. I don't know that I guess it's something to keep an eye on, let's say. But it's not.
No, and I don't. I mean, they'll be. It was good. How many times do we say it a year, right? Like, you can't say these guys are boring and never say anything and then criticize them when they say something. You 100% can do that, by the way. But in this case, it's good. He was fired up. Maybe the next time they're in a game seven, all the players should have their dads talk crap about Mikko Rantanen.
That's what I'm saying.
He has a significantly higher level he can get to when he's.
Yeah, Nathan MacKinnon pulling him aside. You know what I heard Cale Makar's dad say about you?
Yeah. I heard he said that you once ate some white sugar. Is that true? Had some white sugar. What was it? White
sees
pasta?
Red.
He wasn't able to. Yeah.
End of the game, he's like, oh, I blacked out there. What happened? They're like, you had 14 points tonight, big man. Anyway, this was a crazy thing that I saw last night. I watched the Connor Bowl last night. I did not watch anything else in the 10 o'clock hour.
On a Tuesday, buddy.
But I did see on my Twitter timeline, Jeff Baker, who I believe writes for the Seattle Times. Am I right about this?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. He tweets... Bowie must be signing autographs on the main concourse again with a photo of a shitload of empty seats in Seattle. And then a little while later, he tweets what is ostensibly a photo of the scoreboard to indicate that the Kraken only have one shot on goal. But he gets a lot of empty seats in the shot, let's say.
Yeah, he's got a lot. I'm just scrolling his feed. He's... Yeah, he's not using the zoom on the on the old phone camera.
First good chance of the scoreless game comes 17 minutes in. The ice takes up a relatively small portion of the photo, which instead includes a lot of empty seats. Then Kraken at 102:58 since their last goal, almost five full regulation periods in one overtime session. This is taken during the intermission. There's even more empty seats. Basically, every photo he took of the game last night, there's a lot more focus on how many seats are empty than what's like actually happening on the ice, including one that says Kraken shooting percentage at 20% tonight. And you can see the play is going on in the photo, but it's in the offensive zone that is cut off in the photo. So you can just see like three guys skating toward the puck, which is not in the frame at all. I don't want to put words in this guy's mouth, but I think he's taking some shots at the locals.
Well, in his original tweet, there is a reply from Smoke Salmon Not Drugs, who says, is this a poor attendance tweet? Well, you can't slip anything past that guy.
No, he really cracked the case.
It was a sellout. Listed as a sellout last night.
Oh, was it really? I didn't know that.
I'm looking at it there. 17,151 is at least what was.
So that says to me a lot of people were like, you know, I spent like $80 on these tickets or whatever. I'm not fucking going.
Yeah. Don't want to go see the Florida Panthers. I mean, look, the Kraken are bad.
They stink, have been, man.
Quite bad. So.
Now, I read an article out of the Seattle area over the weekend.
Oh, good.
Where, they were talking to, I think, a guy who was covering one of their games who was going to be the play-by-play for one of their national games this week. And he's like, Now, look, how much of this is just the fact that they're not shooting like 14% this year? Well, some of it, but also, and it's like, no, let me stop you right there, Big Dog. It's more than some of it. Almost all of their success last season was because they had, I don't remember now, the fourth highest shooting percentage since 2007-08. Almost all of their success was because of that. And now they're not getting that success, and the team looks really bad. Yeah, this is, I think I told everybody to keep an eye on this summer, like 50 times.
It was roughly, yes.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, he Jeff Baker's tweeting out, Kraken shooting percentage at 20% tonight, about five times better than it's been the last five games. Yeah, you got like, whatever, 70 games of 20% shooting last year. This is what happens. You ask, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs of the lockout shortened season, right? Like, didn't they have like an extremely high shooting percentage?
Yes, they did.
And that convinced a bunch of dumb people. That. Well, look. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying everybody, they haven't seen enough hockey to really understand all this PDO stuff, I would say, as a general populace. But if you didn't see this coming a mile away, mm-hmm. And I guess all the empty seats kind of imply people are like, I don't know what's going on. I'm not going over there. It's really strange to me that a local reporter is doing usually that's reserved for Montreal guys in Florida or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
You don't often see the local guy being like, where is everybody?
Yep. And, well, I mean, they're selling the tickets, but that team is not good.
Team's not good.
And it's not like they went out during the offseason and like loaded up, but
well, they did shockingly little, and that's the point.
Yeah. Ride the hot hand.
And also like this team that stinks is like pretty close to capped out, if I'm not much mistaken. It's not like they're, you know, they're sitting with $12 million in cap space that they couldn't. Yeah, they currently have $55,000 in cap space. So, like, this team that stinks, it's expensive and it stinks. That's the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, we got to, you know, I haven't looked at it, I guess, recently. But, like, I bet Vince Dunn isn't living up to that contract. And like I've said a million times, I'm a Vince Dunn guy, but like, if you expected last year to be the standard, I don't know what to tell you.
Yep. And
a lot of UFAs coming up.
I'll
this
say
summer,
I'm
though, so.
I'm with you on that. Like I think everyone expected the shooting to drop. I did not see them being this bad. I've got them in my bottom five now, and it's like.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd be bottom five, but I also didn't think that I'm going to look up what their team shooting percentage is right now, but I didn't think it would be as low as it probably is, right? Right now they are shooting 8.5%. Yeah, I didn't think, I thought it'd be closer to league average. 8.5 is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
The league average right now is 10-1. But can I say this to you? 886 goaltending ain't helping.
Nope.
And I would also probably say it's not the first time. 890 last year, 886 this year. I think we've identified one of the big problems.
Feel like we have, yeah.
Anyway, and it only cost them the combined cost of Grubauer, Dreger, and Joey Decord. Looks like that's checking in just a shade over $10.6 million bucks.
Just a bit. Just a tiny bit.
Obviously, Grubauer's hurt, but you know. I guess we'll end it this week. We'll talk about John Tavares getting booed. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's that he got his 1,000th point in New York.
Yep.
I think I would have been fine with either outcome. There would have been something kind of, you know, if that had been the moment where the fever broke a little bit and Islander fans, you know, begrudgingly gave him cheered for him or whatever. But also he did it with 6 seconds left in a game that they had been winning. So,
and they emptied the bench.
Yeah.
And so if you weren't like really clued in, you'd just be like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah. Oh, I think all the fans there knew that he was getting his 1,000th point. I don't think that was a big secret going into that game, but yeah, you're allowed to boo. I mean, it doesn't have to be rational. We've said multiple times on this show, if people were rational in how much they cared about sports, then there wouldn't be sports podcasts or websites or sports at all. So, I admire being committed to a bit. So I could do without the, you know, I if you want to boo, go ahead and boo. I could do without some of the like rending of fabrics and garments in the like comment sections about how like they're you and I were talking. Arthur Staples wrote a post, you know, basically explaining the Islanders' view of that. And there are some very unintentionally funny comments from Islander fans, including one guy who is telling what he is very clearly convinced is a heart-wrenching story about his 11-year-old being betrayed by John Tavares, and everyone else is just laughing at it. Like, that kind of stuff is, I think, worthy of mockery. But booing? Go ahead and boo.
Yeah, I didn't need an article being like, here's the trauma that he inflicted upon them, and that's why it's actually okay for them to boo. It's okay for them to boo because who gives a shit, man? Like, you can boo anybody for any reason if you want to. Was it Winnipeg just did a thing where they would pick a random player and boo every time he touched the puck, like in the first season or two?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Nobody was like, how dare they? Because everybody understood, like, oh, we're all just having fun out here, and it doesn't really matter. To their credit, I will say I was glad that no Leafs were like, have a little class. Think about all this guy did for your franchise. Whatever. Well, you didn't see any of that. That to me is good. I just didn't need the explanations going the other way of like, here's what you got to understand. No, I get it. Totally on board for it. Totally understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a tricky one for me. I'm actually very smart.
And the Islanders won in the end. So,
yeah, in overtime, very funny how that happened. Like, again, you emptied the bench to celebrate this guy getting his 1,000th point, and then you immediately fucking lost. That's funny.
That's right.
All right, why don't you hit him with the plug, Sean? Well, let's get out of here.
Yeah, find me at The Athletic. Got all sorts of content going up. I'm doing a piece later this week where I'm looking back. 5 years ago, I tried to predict which teams were and were not going to win the Stanley Cup in the next 5 years. So I'm going to look back at that. And I got it exactly
right.
Toronto
Maple Leafs?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Pretty sure they got one, didn't they?
Well,
maybe I'm remembering the time a guy got his 1,000th point. And
no, I think you're remembering the time they got a lot of respect in the handshake.
Oh, line. In the handshake line. Yes, that's right.
Do you remember this?
Yes, that
it's
was
one of the most important things to ever happen in sports.
It's honestly tomato, tomato at this point. It's.
Is that it for your plugs? You got
that's all
else?
I got.
Okay, great. EPRingside.com. Use the code I love EP when you buy an annual subscription. You get 15 months for the price of 12. What a deal! It was a steal, even. With World Junior coming up, like this is the time to be subscribing to Elite Prospects. Nobody will have better coverage of the tournament. Period. I'm comfortable saying that as a guy who will have nothing to do with the coverage. No one will do a better job than we do. Period. End of story. And then patreon.com/pucksoup. As I said earlier, me and Sean recorded a bonus episode where he showed me crazy clips from the 80s and 90s that I had not seen before. And boy, there's some crazy shit in there. Hockey used to be an insane sport. Like, truly the Wild West.
I think fun is the word you're looking for.
Absolutely. But also, again, like Wild West shit where it's like, yeah, it was actually allowed to stab a guy in 1978-79. That was just in the rule books. You could do
it. We had a coach punching a player.
Mm-hmm.
We had a fan jumping on the ice.
and getting
argue a call
wiped out
getting
by a linesman
destroyed.
You want to talk about a hit from behind? This was more boarding, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
But this linesman killed this fucking guy. I'm shocked that that guy did not die on the ice. He got wrecked. It is a crazy clip.
It was a very fun episode.
Yeah, we had a blast doing it. People seemed to like it. So, and when you click on it, we also do provide the playlist of videos, so you can so you can check it out too.
By the way, people, I'm glad everyone's liking it, but you can stop subscribing to that YouTube channel. I don't update it, and I'm not you're not missing anything other than potentially some videos of my kids. So please don't feel you need to subscribe.
On YouTube, can you like block that? This is like a private only channel or whatever.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But then I don't then fuck grandma's not going to be able to watch like the videos. So.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you can mark like some as this is beside the point, I guess. So yeah, patreon.com/pucksoup. And thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks again to Dan from Joywave for the great new theme song. And you'll hear it again on the way out. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.